Hello and welcome to the Arista Wealth Podcast, where we focus on your finances, wellness, and lifestyle so you can focus on living your dreams. We'll help you navigate through important topics so that you can elevate your life and financial health. Let's get started with your host, Paul Moffitt.
Hello, welcome to Arista Wealth Podcast. Grateful for our listeners who are joining us today. Today, Paul Moffitt, I'm your host. And today, we're joined by Jordan from our office, our Director of Financial Planning. Super excited to have you here today, Jordan.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Good to have you. And it's always nice to get in the recording room and talk about some money topics.
Yeah, it really is. Gosh, really gets our wheels turning here. So excited to dive into some of the nitty-gritty details.
Today, listeners, we're going to be talking about and discussing optimizing your investment strategies. That's a big word, optimizing investment strategies. We're going to talk about a really cool technique and strategy called lump sum investing or dollar cost averaging, LSI or DCA. We have a lot of acronyms, and for our listeners, we apologize, but we live in an acronym world when it comes to money, because money has so many characteristics and can do so many different things. But we're going to talk about LSI versus DCA. And also, remember to stay tuned to discover whether lump sum investing and beats dollar cost averaging and the impact that these decisions can have on your hard-earned money and wealth. We'll also discuss actionable ways to make the most of your investments and money, even if you haven't received a windfall and or you're working towards getting a big windfall in your investment account. So let's get started. Jordan, you want to start us off?
Yeah, great. I think it's important, Paul, for our listeners to understand the definitions of dollar cost averaging and lump sum investing. So let's start off with DCA. So dollar cost averaging is an investment strategy that involves regularly investing a fixed amount of money into a particular investment over a defined period of time, regardless of the asset price. In contrast, lump sum investing is very similar to how it sounds. You dump capital directly into an asset class as opposed to spreading it out over time. And so with lump sum investing, you're deploying a much larger sum of money into financial markets at a single point in time. So those are the differences between the two, and we can compare and contrast what may or may not make sense for our listeners.
Okay. So listeners, Jordan brought it to a simple term. Lump sum investing is you're dumping a pile of money into the market. Obviously, with Arista Wealth, we really, really diversify. Average client portfolio has about 10,000 different investments in stocks and publicly traded companies, and also about 3,000 securities and fixed income. So they're very heavily diversified versus putting money in every month. So pull the curtains back, Jordan, and tell us which one's better and which one has good ones and bad ones, thorns and roses.
Yeah, great. Well, I think as with all nuanced questions, the answer is it's going to depend. And so
you always say that, Jordan.
So let me tell you what may make sense for dollar cost averaging. And if this profile seems to align more closely with our listeners, dollar cost averaging may be a superior approach. So dollar cost averaging is a great approach to risk mitigation, psychological comforts of you're deploying dollars systematically, and you don't have to worry so much about deploying this capital at a single point in time. And if the market doesn't do well, you perhaps would be uncomfortable sleeping at night. And so in addition to the psychological comfort, it implicitly develops discipline. So each and every month, you're consistently making a very defined contribution directly into your retirement plan or after-tax account. In addition, one of the benefits to dollar cost averaging is market timing. And so you're buying more shares when markets are not doing so well, which in the long run may position you for superior growth. So I would say those are considerations for folks thinking that deploying cash over systematic periods of time may make more sense. So I would say risk mitigation, psychological comfort, discipline, and market timing.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So Jordan, talk to us about how lump sum versus dollar cost averaging will be affected by time horizons.
Yeah, that's great, Paul. So what we've seen with a lot of empirical data is the longer you're in the market, and this is just referencing data from Vanguard and other very reputable sources, that most often investors are better off with lump sum investing as long as they're able to stomach the market volatility. So I think the test has to come down to, and I would call it, you know, this is not very technical, but a sleeping test. If you're able to sleep comfortably at night, maybe lump sum investing may make sense for you, just given what those goals look like. And I would say, in addition to that, we're referencing a lot of data. And so the decision ultimately is going to depend on the client's profile, but both strategies are great approaches to deploying capital into stock markets. But nonetheless, what we've seen relative to the empirical data is lump sum investing more often than not has provided superior returns.
Well, and there's so many sources out there, you know, whether it's Morningstar, Vanguard, the Markham, you know, Reddit, whether it's RBC, there's a lot of power based upon their time horizon that dollar cost averaging really can be beneficial if you've got a really long runway. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to share with us some statistics, though, Jordan, on the benefits of it. But in general, when investing a new lump sum of money for 20 years, immediately dumping it in an all at once transaction up front, 71% of the time, dollar cost averaging can win, where 29% dollar cost averaging would win. But it's what's interesting, Jordan, is that 70% also is closely correlated with the number that we use all the time, saying that the markets are positive 70% of the time.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Isn't that interesting that you're attaching the probability on a yearly basis that the markets will be positive is in the 70% range, and now we're seeing another 70% common range that lump sum investing does outperform dollar cost averaging. Interesting to attach those two parallels. So walk us through what Vanguard is saying in percentages of figures.
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. So here is what's interesting about Vanguard's empirical data. And we're referencing a one-year time horizon from the year 2022 into year 2023. So I'm going to read some statistics here. Lump sum investing versus dollar cost averaging. Close to 70% of the time, lump sum investing outperforms dollar cost averaging. That statistic to me is just so interesting. And so, as with all statistics, it takes out the psychological impact of when there's market volatility, how are investors going to react? So this is purely the statistics and numbers that we're looking at relative to the empirical data. And so as long as you can stomach that market volatility and your time horizon is long enough, more often than not, you're going to be okay. However, here's what's interesting. Anything's better than cash. And so dollar cost averaging versus cash outperforms close to 70% of the time. And so what's interesting about that, and especially in the environment that we're in, is, you know, you can't stay in cash forever. And so eventually you're going to run into the headwinds of taxes and inflation, and having a plan in place is a priority. And we want to make sure our listeners and our clients understand that regardless of the strategy developed, we want to ensure long-term success. But what we're referencing here, and Paul and I are discussing, are just some of the empirical data numbers. But nonetheless, it does support that lump sum investing more often than not does outperform. So if you're an investor that meets the profiles of seeking a higher investment return, time in the market, not necessarily timing the market, but if you have a long enough time horizon, we also need to be cognizant of transaction costs, because there are times when you dollar cost average into a market and there could be transaction fees for trading. And so that's a headwind against your portfolio growth in the long term as well. And so those are considerations in addition to risk tolerance. And so investors who have a higher risk tolerance more often than not have more of an appetite for riding sometimes what we'll coin here at the office is the roller coaster of the stock market. And as long as you meet these profiles of seeking higher investment returns, you're going to be in good shape, and lump sum investing may be for you.
Yeah. The only time that dollar cost averaging would outperform lump sum is in a declining market like 08, 09.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, March of 2000 to October of 2000.
Yeah.
Would you agree in those time frames?
Yeah, I agree. And what I would also say is it's very hard to predict. Hindsight is always 20/20 during those unusual market events. I can think of, as you referenced, Paul, the financial crisis, Brexit, COVID. Those were all significant downturns in the market. But that being said, hindsight is always 20/20, and there are very few, if any, folks who can read through a crystal ball or the tea leaves of what's coming down the pipeline, whether it's expected or unexpected. And so I totally agree with you there. But when you're taking a look at the empirical data, it's hard to pose an argument against coming up with a strategy that you can stick to. And I think the considerations for perhaps both are in our listeners and clients need to ask themselves. And, you know, we walk our clients through these conversations of what's your investor behavior, what's the market condition, what's your time horizon, and we want to make sure you're globally diversified as well. So if we can check off those boxes, we can come up with a viable strategy that you can stick with in the long term.
Yeah. Now, Jordan, you mentioned something. It's called the sleep factor. We use it a lot around here. I mean, walk me through. I mean, you know, we've got quite a few clients that have sold some of their businesses that they've worked hard for 20 years on, and they've walked in the door and they've got $2, $3, $5, $10, $30, $40, $50 million. And you've said, yeah, we need to invest it. And they say, whoa, hold on. You know, what are some of your thoughts about that for some of our listeners who really can't stomach letting go of this hard-earned money?
Yeah, great question, Paul. And we field these type of concerns very, very often. And so there's not a one-size-fits-all approach, but we want to ensure, at least fundamentally, you have an emergency cash reserve. And I think anywhere from 3 to 6 months is going to be adequate for most of our clients. In addition to that, we need to understand what their short, intermediate, and long-term goals look like. And so if we need to have a 3 or 4 year reserve of cash that's readily available, that's, we're not going to see a ton of market volatility, well, it may not make sense to deploy all of that cash into the stock market. It may make sense to perhaps buy treasury bills, utilize short duration bond funds where you're not going to see as much volatility. So I would say again, Paul, and I know I alluded to this comment here earlier, it's going to depend, but nonetheless, we can work through a solution that may make sense for our clients relative to what their goals are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, the common words, it depends. And what are some of the other strategies if they don't want to deploy the $3 to $5 million or the $1 million? You know, what's another strategy that could be deployed that we've used here at times?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. And I would say the interest rate environment is very unusual. And so I'm going to use a very technical term, but we're in an inverted yield curve environment. So that basically means when you utilize a shorter term treasury bill, you're actually getting more yield than a longer term treasury bill. That's very unusual. And so I would say at our disposal, gosh, we have very, very high yield money market funds. We're such a large firm. We can negotiate with our custodian in terms of making sure clients get some of the highest yields out there. We have access to treasury bills, treasury bonds, in addition to corporate bonds. And so depending upon what that risk profile and time horizon looks like for our clients, we could build out a strategy that makes sense for some of those apprehensions of deploying large sums of money all at once or over a period of time in the market. I can think of a client, Preston, who's our portfolio trader. He's in the portfolios every single day, nearly every minute of every single day. And he built out a very, very elaborate bond ladder for a client. And so this client needed dollars on the first of each and every month. And so Preston, in coordination with Fidelity, he built out a bond ladder that was totally awesome for this client. It was extremely high yields. And at the end of the day, it met the client's needs and provided them comfort. So I think depending upon what that need looks like, we can customize portfolio specifically for that particular need and goal.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, Preston does a great job. He loves Excel spreadsheets and he loves the computers, and he's always glued to that computer. We actually bring food in for him for lunch because he doesn't like to leave, and we're always seeing if we can get his food into an intravenous IV in him because eating is a burden because he's just always on that computer. But that's great to hear, and really appreciate that discussion about this, Jordan. You know, everybody is different, and we need to find that comfort zone. We can share the data all day long, can't we, Jordan?
We can, Paul, and it never ends.
Yeah. We can share the data to say that lump sum investing, LSI, is superior to DCA. But some people want a DCA, dollar cost average, over, you know, 3, 6, 12, 18 months. But research says that you just have to get on the airplane, fasten your seatbelt, and just, you know, let the airplane and the engines do their thing and get you to your destination. This has been great. Thank you, listeners. Hopefully you've better informed, better educated. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. For more information, visit our website at aristawealth.com to help you live a life of significance. Thanks for joining us, and please tune in for next week as we discuss many more important topics.
This episode of the Arista Wealth Podcast has ended, but be sure to subscribe for more advice on your finances, wellness, and lifestyle so you can focus on living your dreams. Don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you on the next episode.